This is a show about a team that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up to Pastor Fail Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine away. Community building is here to stay.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's another episode of Community Building here on Post Show Recap Stock in Season 1, Episode 8, Home Economics. I'm Josh Wiggler, joined here as always by Jess Sterling. Jess, did you bring any sort of like music numbers or anything like that?
I was trying to think of one last minute, and like the only awful one I could think of was like, we're bringing in the Jesses.
Yeah. It's not great.
It's not good at all.
We are doing that, though. We've got two Jesses for the price of one this week on Community Building. The legendary Jessica Lease, Jess Lease, in the house. Jess, how's it going?
It's going great. I got my special drink here. I'm ready to kick back and talk all things community.
Yep. How are we going to distinguish between the Jesses?
I think we have to call last us by name? Our full names. Yeah,
we can't like come up names. With like cool nicknames real quick.
Like what?
On the fly?
Yeah.
Like if
all
I
right.
didn't already have a cool nickname, I just don't think it's going to happen for me at this point in my life.
Oh, I thought that you were like, I misheard you at first. I thought you were like, as if I don't already have a cool nickname. And I was like, whoa.
I just didn't like share it with you because it's too cool.
Yeah. All right. Jess Sterling, Jess Lease. I apologize. I will just be calling you first and last names throughout the whole thing. Which for many people can be a pet peeve. I have a friend who I call him by his first and last name because his first name is my brother's name. So sometimes I have to distinguish because I'm very close to this one, too. And my dad does it to him all the time. He hates it. He really does. He doesn't like being called first, last name. Really drives him nuts.
I'm not a fan either, to be honest, but it's my life, you know, it's being named the most popular name from 1978 to 1989. You're going to run into people with your name all the time. So I was not allowed to change my name as a child. And it just kind of at this point, it's my brand. So
did you want to?
Yeah, I wanted a name. I would much rather have had an unusual first name with a last name that everybody could spell and pronounce.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's the better combination.
That is a better combo. No one's ever misspelled my name, but there are also a lot of us. So
my last name gets misspelled all the time, including by colleagues, by close friends. Yeah, I get that extra G. It's like, hey, you don't need that.
Yeah,
it doesn't belong here.
No,
I know it looks like maybe it should, but it isn't. There's only the one.
Yeah, I always wanted to be Anastasia. I don't know why.
It's a good name.
Yeah, yeah, Anastasia's cool. It's would you shorten it to Annie?
Ha! No.
Stage?
I thought you were going to say Stacy, and I was going to be like, no, thank you.
Stage.
No. I mean, that was Stacy in the Babysitter's Club. That was her full name.
Yeah. Stage would Anastasia. Be a cool stage name.
Stage Sterling.
Yeah, Stage Sterling.
That's a bit much.
Well, there we go. We found the nickname.
Great.
Stage Sterling in the house.
I knew you could do it, Josh.
I figured if we filibustered long enough, it would happen
naturally.
And so,
came up organically.
And so it has.
That's a different episode.
Did. No, I don't know that one yet, but I know the reference. All right, home economics, which was a class that I loved in 7th or 8th grade whenever I took it, because at least on one day it meant cookies. And I remember being like, oh, this shall be the cookies class. And of course, not much has changed since, you know, the me of today in many ways is the me of yesteryear. Not pining for a different name necessarily, but definitely still pining for treats. Cookies in home ec. Sad lack of cookies in this episode, but a whole lot of laughs. Jess Lease, you're coming on to Community Building here for the first time. This is it, right? This is whoa, Jess. You and I've talked about so much television. We've spent hours together, like many hours together talking TV. I don't think we've ever talked about Community before.
Yeah, it's I don't think we ever have. In fact, I don't think I've talked about Community with anybody, like, speechy-wise.
With anyone.
Since it went off the air. And now it's like, now that there's the podcast, I remember how much I loved it and that it was on.
Yeah.
But it really almost never comes up in conversation. So I'm excited to have the chance.
Yeah. So give us a little bit of your backstory in terms of like your like top down thoughts on Community.
Well, I was day one Community adopter because we were big Soup Watchers. And you're like, ooh, Joel McHale's going to have a show. We got to watch the show. And so, like, we were sitting there when it premiered in real time watching it, and then watched it pretty religiously up through about season three. And then it would be one of those pile up on the DVR things, and we'd pick it up as we went along. And I had thought I dropped off at some point, but then Sterling asked me to come up with my list of my favorite episodes a while back.
We call her Stage around here, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, Stage Sterling asked me to come up with my list of, you know, when I would like to be on the stage talking about Community.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do. And I had my list and I was like, wait a minute. These are season five. I didn't even remember that I was still watching during season five, but I must have. And it must have gotten a lot better because I loved all of these episodes. So I was apparently a fan for much longer than I thought. I know I didn't see it all the way to the end, but I was very into it for, like, up till its zenith, and then sort of coasted and fell off somewhere near the end.
Zenith was a good show. The Warrior Princess?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I liked that one. Yeah! Was that pretty good?
What is happening?
Have you not seen Zenith of the Warrior Princess?
I thought it was Xena.
It was Xena.
I'm pretty sure it's Zenith.
Okay, I didn't know if I was doing missing a bit. Something. I thought so, but I wasn't
pretty
positive.
Yeah. Sure.
And see,
you're right.
The reason I know you two, the reason I know you two are much younger than I am is because Zenith was a TV brand. And
I don't know what that
everybody's
is.
Everybody's grandparents had like a... everybody's grandparents had like a big console Zenith TV in their living room.
Oh, I know what that is.
Was it the one in the
when
wood?
You said a TV brand, I thought that you meant like a network or some sort of thing.
No,
like
it was an actual, like the actual physical object of the TV was
Got
Zenith
it.
Brand.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Where like everybody has a Samsung now.
I have the theme song in my head, and I can't remember if it's Xena or Hercules. So someone just let me know. Was that Hercules or Xena?
That might have been Xena.
That was a great song.
I did watch Xena. I didn't watch Hercules.
Yeah, Xena was great. Can't wait for the Xena full watch of Xena at some point.
Everything is Xena.
We'll have to work on the branding on the I don't know, like Magazina. Maybe it'll be like our weekly. That could be the evolution of the newsletter. It turned into a Magazina. And in the newsletter, you are watching Xena, and every week you are providing like a quick paragraph recap of a. I almost said recrap, which may be more appropriate to this idea.
Oh my god.
That you're gonna you write like a quick, like a tight 150 on every episode of Xena. You've got time for that, right?
I in my ample free time, I'll do that. You know.
Anyway, sign up for the Patreon because you get a weekly newsletter from Jessica Lease, and it is.
Can I just make up what happens? Like, you're not going to be watching the Xena. I could just invent what happened on the Xena episode.
I mean, yes,
that would be better.
I am like incredibly into that idea where like it starts off like fairly straight that you're watching Xena, and then you're just like fanficking a show and like falling deeper down a rabbit hole into a show that you're just inventing that like you swear has Xena in it. I think is a great idea for a newsletter column.
Yeah, I'm just going to log line fake episodes of Xena, and it could be one of those things like the Mole Patrol where we guess whether it's real or fake.
Yeah. I really, really like this episode a lot. Lots of really funny bits in here. Just like a lot of really good material in Home Economics. I'm still just like putting it, like I'm hanging it at like that top tier that I've got so far. Like I'm too nervous to like break past that right now.
Yeah.
I can't like say definitively like I like this more than the ones that I've liked this much, but I like this one at the level that I've liked the ones this much. Does that make sense, Stage?
Yes, that makes perfect sense. I think it's tough. I'm very curious to see what episode will be the first episode that one of us gives a full four cools to.
I know that next week is allegedly like a biggie, right? That's what I hear.
It is for me. It is for me. Okay. I don't think you're going to give it a full four cools. That is just my guess.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to happen. For me, I love that episode. I'm just curious to see when it happens. I think
American Poultry is probably for me.
Yeah, that's fair. I think we are now in the territory of like, we're in the good season one stuff. Like, good. This is it.
Okay,
this is the show. We are here. We have arrived. Yeah, this episode is great. I also loved it. I almost was like, I'm not going to give it four cools, but like, I very much wanted to for like 1 second, just because I love the song so much.
The song has been in my head for days now.
Yeah.
The song has been in my head for 10 years.
Yeah. I'm getting rid of Britta. It's so good. And Chevy Chase just belt like, she's a BDG or whatever he says. She's a GDB.
She's a GDB.
Yeah. GDB.
Yeah, it just cracks me up. Just like the way he belts that out.
This is the use for Chevy Chase. Like, if anybody wants to know, this Chevy is the use
Chase.
For him.
Optimal Chevy Chase this week. I think this is high quality Pierce that you get in a... Did you just defend my honor? Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. That was great. All right. Well, there's a lot to get through on this one. So, Jess Sterling, as we call you around here, stage, let's set the stage. Let's talk home economics.
Yeah. So we start off in Spanish class with Chang. We don't see much of him this episode, but he's telling everybody to refer to one another in their Spanish names.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Pierce is throwing paper balls.
We've talked about that on here, haven't we?
Yes. I was Anise. We definitely talked about this.
Yeah. I was Julio.
Julio.
Yeah.
Did you have a Spanish name in Spanish class, Jesslys? Did you take Spanish?
I didn't take Spanish. I have picked up Spanish in life later on as it was useful, but when it was not useful, I didn't study it. I took Japanese. We were not given Japanese names.
Cool.
Yeah, we just had to figure out ways to pronounce our own names in bastardized Japanese, and it didn't work very well.
Yeah.
I kind of wished, I feel like that's a rite of passage I never got to have.
Yeah. Yeah. Jess, like, they translated peoples that could be translated, but Jess obviously does not translate into Spanish. So, Jeff is sleeping and Pierce is throwing paper balls into his mouth. Chang decides to wake Jeff up yells Buenos Dias to him.
I was on the edge of my seat, nervous about what was about to happen here. Cause like, Chang is so unpredictable that like, it's really hard to know. Is this going to be played down the line? And like, that's like probably like the bottom ranked option that like, he's just like going to like be in on this, that he's like going to be like, no, this is funny what's happening with Jeff. And so I'll just play along rather than like trying to like actively give Pierce a heart attack or something like that. And just like giving him an F on the spot or doing something like miserably terrible.
Well, it is something that I think you miss when you get to watch a whole bunch of Community episodes out of sequence and you know where Chang eventually ends up. Because in the early days, Chang is not really as chaotic evil as he ends up being. Mm-hmm. So he, at this point, this is like the first sense you get that he's not just kind of, like, they play this for laughs and it does make me, it doesn't really ring as great as it must have 10 years ago when we all didn't know any better, but having a Spanish teacher in your community college named Senor Chang was the joke.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is the guy. We think he probably does speak Spanish, but it's funny because he's clearly not from a Spanish speaking country. And this makes me a little uncomfortable now, but all we know now is that he's down to clown. If you're playing a joke on somebody in class, he's going to want to be in on it. You don't know that he's like sleeping in the basement and doesn't speak a word of Spanish and is about to get fired. Like, you think he's just like a Spanish teacher that wants his students to like him.
Yeah.
And I think we know where he ends up and he goes completely off the rails. So I think being spoiled on this, it's a little bit different from just watching him in the classroom.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Yeah, they definitely, I feel like, let him go a little bit wilder as time goes on. They don't utilize him very, very much in the beginning. So Jeff is
really
up.
They don't really know who he is in the beginning, I don't think. And this is the first episode, and we're going to get into this. This is the first episode where I feel like they know who everybody is and who they're going to be. So continue.
They're all leaving class, and Troy pretends to be Annie's backpack. Annie giggles, like, obviously super into it still. She's not over Troy yet. We're still in the Troy and Annie phase, which most people, at least I really don't like, and I know a lot of people don't like it. It just feels weird to where, like, knowing where they end up, it feels very awkward. But that's it's we're here still. Troy's asking
I don't know
Annie,
where they end up, so I don't have that frame of reference, but it still feels kind of awkward.
Yeah.
But you do know that the people, I think you have a sense that the people that are being shipped with one another in the first 10 episodes are not the people that get shipped with one another later.
I right. believe that to be correct. Yes.
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 So Troy asks Annie advice on asking somebody out on a date who's in class with him. Obviously, Annie assumes that he's talking about her. She says there's going to be a picnic with live music on campus. Troy says Randy would love that type of thing. And then he says, oh, wait a minute. Randy can be the name of a guy or a girl.
Yeah, I understand now that I've misled you. Yeah.
Yes. Annie is obviously disappointed. She kind of like whisper shouts to him. You're welcome. I hate you and I love you.
I love you.
Want to have your babies. Shirley walks.
Really great. I think like I'm going to be pretty high on Annie this week. And it is, for me, I feel like it's a lot more because of Allison Brie than because of Annie, maybe.
Yeah, but that's fine, because I feel like we are with Troy, though.
Yeah.
Like, because of Donald Glover, right?
Totally.
Like, he wouldn't be as funny if the acting wasn't so good.
Allison Brie just, like, has a few moments of physical comedy, too.
the hair gif is yeah. great.
Yeah, yeah. There's some great stuff coming up.
Yeah. So, Shirley walks by and is disappointed that she followed Jeff and Britta out of class today instead of Troy and Annie.
Yes.
I love the continuation of like the Shirley is a gossip storyline. Like, it only comes in like very small bits and pieces here and there. We're never going to get the like Shirley and Jeff are gossip buddies again. But I love just like that tiny little like morsel of Shirley loves the gossip.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish that we got more of Shirley and Jeff together in that context. But Shirley is more than capable of holding down this title by herself. Another strong Shirley episode, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, which I think is surprising considering she's not like super present in it. But the moments that she is are really funny.
She's just great. She's my MVP still so far. Just like anytime Shirley, yeah, so far. Yeah, I feel like anytime Shirley is around, I'm just happy. I just love the way that she interacts with every character so far.
Yeah, I mean, Shirley is great. I rated her very low this episode, spoiler alert, because we didn't get any Shirley. We got her like sort of egging Annie on from the sidelines and like being very keyed into what's going on, but I really like we barely see her at all. She makes a meal out of what she gets, but she's practically invisible. She's practically not even there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that could be enough for me, though. Like, if you have two scenes and you just are great, that can be enough for me to give you a pretty high score.
No
spoilers on my Meow Meow Beans, because they're still in flux.
To the surprise of nobody.
Yes.
We're now outside, and Britta's asking Jeff if he's okay, because he has actual bad head and has missed shaving an entire side of his face. Jeff says that he's a tastemaker and that next week this is going to be the look. Vaughn is walking by.
Bedhead is definitely like an aspirational look as far as Animal Crossing is concerned. In Animal Crossing, if you don't play your game for like 2 weeks, then you wake up with bedhead, and that's the only way to get that option. And like, it's actually a really cool look in the game, I think. So he may have been too far ahead of his time. But Jeff was not necessarily off the mark that bedhead would at one point be desirable in a very, very specific context.
Does the bedhead in the game look like Jeff's bedhead?
No, it looks better. It looks cool. It's like a little pointy, but kind of shaggy, but like it's not like the shaggy hair look. Like, it's really neat. Like, I got the bedhead and I just kept it for a while. I was like, oh, this looks cool. You can't like buy it with your Nook Miles or anything. Like, you have to, like, you literally have to put the game down for 2 weeks. So you probably could do like some time travel chicanery.
Yeah, I think you could time travel and get it. Probably
could time travel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Vaughn is now walking by. We get Vaughn back on the show, which I was thrilled about.
I love Vaughn. Oh my God.
He's so good.
What a great character.
And Pierce loudly says, oh, it's the guy with tiny nipples that you did it with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Britta. Britta asks Vaughn if they can talk, and she apologizes. Vaughn calls Britta toxic. You're like the opposite of an antioxidant. Just such a good line.
Yeah. So an oxidant?
Yeah, she's an oxidant.
Yeah. That's a tough thing to be called, I feel like. I wouldn't want to be called an oxidant.
Well, it's like a breath of fresh air, isn't it?
I mean, I would think that it's someone trying to, like, very classily call me an accident.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like
you're an oxidant. Yeah, I don't like
it's
that.
It's like a British accent.
Yeah, I don't like it.
So now it's like John Oliver calling you names.
Yeah, he Professor Duncan calling me an accident.
An accident.
I don't care for it. I don't like it. I'm intentional, man. I'm not an accident.
So would you rather be called an accident or a no good bee?
Probably a no good bee would crack me up.
Yeah, but I also think like being called an accident, it's like, well, that's just like a roast on my parents. Like I wasn't involved at that point.
Yeah, but it would make me feel existentially challenged. Not necessarily like not even necessarily bad, but like, yeah, like put me in the wormhole of like, should I be here? Like that's terrifying.
To be born. Yeah.
Yeah. It's scary. That's scary. Yeah. And then like get me like thinking about some alternate universe stuff. Like
darkest timeline, Josh.
Yeah. Take me to the galaxy B, you know, like this galaxy brain wiggler. Like I don't need that. Get me out of
Clarence is going to show you your life with where you were never born and everybody is much better off.
Yeah. I don't want to know about it.
Oh no.
I don't want to know about that. I already have my suspicions. I don't need to see it. So this is where Vaughn says late.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm pretty sure I said earlier in the Discord, the Discord, that Josh is now going to say lates a lot.
Lates.
And he leaves his brand asking
to be friends.
I can
sell it. I can't sell lates.
Really?
No, I don't think so.
You abbreviate literally like every other word, but you can't abbreviate later.
For whatever reason, I don't know. Let me try it. Hang on. I'm going to try and do this without laughing. It's going to be hard at this point, because once you say like, I'm going to do this without laughing, you just start to laugh.
Yeah.
All right, hang on. All right, lates. Yeah, no, it doesn't come out right. It doesn't, no.
You got to practice a few more times.
It sounds so bad and stupid.
Hold on.
I hate it.
Hang on. Hold on. Give me a second. All right, it was good seeing you, lates. Yeah, no, I can't do it. I don't have it. I can't do it.
You can't say it seriously. That's the point. Whenever you abbreviate things, you say it in a very like joking manner, and I think that's what you'd have to do with lates. Like, lates.
I don't think it comes out right. I don't think it comes out. I don't wield it well.
No, it's more like, I kicked you out of the chat room. Late.
Yeah, I don't think
like
I can do it.
It's not see you later, friend. It's like
late.
It's like a bye, Felicia situation.
Oh, so you're like, you're slamming the door on someone.
Late.
Yeah,
maybe. Like that tombstone gif of the guy that's like, well, bye.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe like if you back it with extraordinary sass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I think it's like,
no time for you. Late.
I think it's like on the same caliber of like, well, guess I'll go F myself then. It's like late.
Yeah, that's where it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I'm good at it.
I mean, that's fine. You don't need to abbreviate everything, so.
But you're good at the bedhead.
Yeah, I
Look
know.
What you're doing right now,
the hair
Josh.
Is my fierce.
All right. So for people who are we say this all the time. We record community building live for the patrons of Post Show Recaps. It's one of the perks of becoming a member of the Post Show Recaps Patreon. So you could watch the video version. Last week you could have seen all of Shut Up Tim's hats and masks that he was wearing. Today you could see my bedhead. My hair has gotten out of control. And I don't quite know what to do
There's
about
it. There's a lot of volume happening.
It's very, this is, you know, my Jimmy Neutron look. Think about Jimmy Neutron, Boy Genius, that animated movie from Once Upon a Time. That's where my hair has gone. And I can't really do anything. And it's less a suspicion and more like she's not like outright saying, I think Emily hates my hair right now.
Well, and if Emily hates your hair so much, she should cut it.
I don't know what to do
about
it.
I've cut my family's hair and I only screwed it up on one of the three of us.
I don't know what to do about it. I kind of love it. I kind of love just, like, having the luxurious, you know, right now I'm running my fingers through my hair.
Okay, the way that you're saying that and doing that is making me uncomfortable.
Yeah, this is not okay.
No,
this is not how we think of you.
That was where it ended. That needed to end right there.
I liked it. I thought it was fun.
It was a good look until then.
Yeah, okay. I think it was okay.
I'm going to go shave my head if you guys can hold down the podcast for about 10 minutes. Can you just keep it going? I'll be back.
Yeah, I think we could say lates to that conversation.
Lates.
I'm going to go say lates to my hair as I shave it off.
Moving swiftly on. Vaughn leaves as Britta asks to be friends. Pierce volunteers to talk to Vaughn for Britta. He says that Britta's hormones are clouding her judgment. Not great thing to say, Pierce.
No.
And Britta says, don't talk to Vaughn. And as soon as she leaves, Pierce says, that's girl talk for talk to Vaughn.
Like, yeah, talk to Vaughn. Yeah, gotta talk to Vaughn.
Yeah. Jeff is sneakily parking his car and changing, brushing his teeth behind a bush, changing. Britta and Shirley see him. Shirley asks if Britta's sure she doesn't want a piece of that.
Yeah.
And Shirley says car. Jeff's living in his car. Yeah, it's very obvious that's what's happening here.
That's what he's been doing. And I don't think I fully understood what's going on. He's having an issue with his condo.
Yeah, like he can't pay.
Oh,
because he's
not able to practice the law.
Right.
Yeah. And you need the money from the law practicing.
Mm.
And he's been foreclosed upon, I believe.
Mm.
Yes. Yeah. So he can't afford to live in this fancy condo with the Italian faucet.
Yeah.
So we're back in study hall. Pierce says he lived in his car for a stretch in the 70s. Nothing like bedding a woman in the vinyl backseat of a Skylark.
What a terrible AIDS, thing to say.
Sex was like shaking hands. And Ahmed says... AIDS.
What a horrifying, that even like the whole thing is horrifying, but that first sentence coming from Chevy Chase, nothing like bedding a woman in the vinyl back seat of a Skylark, is just a terrifying thing to hear.
Yeah. Chevy Chase is like if OK Boomer were a person.
Yes. Manifested.
Yeah. Well, he's the old white man says. That's a thing that'll come up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I don't know why this tickled me so much, but Pierce calls Britta Brittles.
Brittles.
And for some reason... It gets me every time.
It's probably because he's been talking to Vaughn. So, like, some Vaughn speak is, like, glomming onto Pierce's brain. So he's, like, adding an S onto things.
Yeah, Brittles.
Brittles.
He tells Britta he went and talked to Vaughn. He says he couldn't patch things up, but he's the new keyboardist in his band.
Yeah.
great.
Cool.
Jeff comes in, and this is, like, prime Shirley. Shirley immediately blurts out, living in your car, living in your car, you're living in your car.
See, this is a great example of, like, you don't need a ton of Shirley in the episode, and I'm still going to rate her very high, because this killed me. Just, like, I really wondered how they were, like, going to get into it. I figured it would just, like, sort of be, like, stealthy side plot with just, like, Britta and Shirley, but then, like, Shirley just blows it up at the table. I died. Yeah. It was very funny.
Shirley's great. Love Shirley so much.
Yeah, living in your car, living in your car. You are living in your car.
She's like, sorry, I couldn't hold it in.
I couldn't hold it in.
I think my issue with Shirley is that she really doesn't get to do anything but react to other people's plots. This is the only thing she does that moves the plot forward at all.
Yeah.
Like, you take Shirley out of this and you lose a couple of funny lines, but everybody else is actually, like, actively doing something.
Sure.
I guess for me, like, I give
everyone
more points.
Something to do this week?
Pretty much.
Not Chang, not Shirley.
Well, no, but in the study
Chang
group...
Chang wasn't a thing at this point.
Right. But the reason that I still give Shirley, like, so much credit is because, like, even with such a small amount of plot and time on the show, she makes me laugh so hard. And so, like, I think it's even better that she, you know, she's even better than I would have thought because she doesn't have much to do, but she's still so funny in the small bits that she gets.
Yeah. Yeah, bits.
Jeff says he's sleeping in his car for a few nights. Shirley offers a place to stay. Troy says his dad is kind of racist. Abed says his room has a bunk bed. And Jeff does not appreciate all of the charity that is being thrown his way.
Yeah, people are trying too hard with Jeff. He's still not comfortable with everyone wanting to be, like, actually, like, friends with him. Doesn't care for it yet, I don't think.
He doesn't like people. Well, I think he just thinks he's better than everybody else. So he, like, doesn't want people that he sees himself as being, like, above to, like, offer him charity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is one of the reasons that I love this episode so much, because this is the first instance of something happening that actually changes a character fundamentally. And you see that facade start to crack with Jeff, and it's always there to some extent, but this is the first time he actually, like, lets them reach out and become his friend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he actively, like, changes for an episode, you know? Troy catches up with Annie and thanks her for her advice. He says he really wants to impress Randy and asks Annie to help shop with him. Shirley's watching and is, like, doing, like, one of these, like, no, Annie, don't do that. She's upset with Annie for agreeing. Britta approaches Jeff and he asks if she wants to see his place. He brags about the Italian faucets handcrafted in Italy. Britta says he needs to move on with his life.
I want to know more about the faucets.
I wish we got a photo of them.
Yeah.
Like, they were in the bag, but we never got to see them.
Yeah. He's got a lot. He has a bidet in his condo. Like, he's got a lot going on in there.
Yeah.
He's got a lot going on. He's very European, his condo.
Yeah, I imagine he had them, like, imported.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? For sure.
Like, they didn't come. That's not like stock, you know. It doesn't come with the handcrafted fossils.
Travel,
it's like the
travel the world and learn how inferior our bathroom situation is compared to so many places.
Mm-hmm. I picture this condo as being like something that, like, all of the condos look identical, but then you can buy the add-ons, like the butt warmers.
Yeah, the butt warmers are key.
Like your car would get the leather seats. Yeah. So this is what the faucet is. It's like you can tick a box and pay $2,000 extra and you get the faucets.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah. Britta says that downgrading his lifestyle is a chance to grow as a person. The less you have, the more you can be.
Wow.
Yeah. And Jeff accuses Britta of being attracted to bums.
Yeah. Is this what he's like, I want to show, like, he says something about, or she says, he's like, come to my kitchen. And she says, like, your kitchen's getting towed.
Yeah,
and
your kitchen is being towed. Yeah,
that's a great line. That was cute.
Yep. So his car is getting towed away. And this is when we see Jeff approach Abed and ask if he can stay with him. Abed asks if he wants the top or bottom bunk.
Jeff says top. Yeah, and then I'll race you for it. But he's already got the higher ground.
He wins. It wasn't a fair race. And then we flash to Abed eating cereal and watching cartoons in the morning. Jeff is on the phone trying to liquidate assets. It seems like he's trying to sell Spider-Man comics.
I didn't catch that, but I mean, maybe if he's got like a lot of like classic Spider-Man. They would potentially sell
quite
well.
He was talking about, like, oh, but it's a guy in a suit, and he has, like, power. I don't know. It was something, like, that was very Spider-Man sounding.
Mm, I missed it.
I'm no expert. Mm. I kind of was thinking to think that, like, Jeff, like, drew his own comics and was trying to sell
them. Like to imagine that. Is there any future plot line in which he's a comic book creator?
No, but that would be fun.
That would be cool. There's a world where Joel McHale would have been a great Spider-Man in, like, Into the Spider-Verse if they couldn't have gotten, what's his head?
The guy from New Girl?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I could see that.
What is his name?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. This is bad. We should know that guy.
I shouldn't know him. You should.
Just like, I'm mostly talking about myself and, like, multiple me's from the other timelines that
Jake
we were talking
Johnson.
About. Oh, yes. That's
Thanks,
right.
Ariel.
Jake Johnson. I guess so.
But is Joel McHale, does Joel McHale borderline like too good looking to play that role? Like, he's not like grungy enough.
Well, it's an animation. You know, it's a cartoon. It's a cartoon.
I forgot that it was an animation because the guy, Jake Johnson, looks like just like the cartoon that they drew of him.
Kinda similar. So Abed is eating cereal, which in
Lucky Charms.
In today's climate is a dangerous proposition.
Oh, no. Ew. Ruin it. Yeah. Don't ruin it again.
Just
I've gotten
be careful.
Over this.
Just be careful.
Yeah.
Especially in a cereal that is supposed to have other component parts than just like the crunchy cereal. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd be nervous right now.
Yeah, there might be a third component in the cereal. Sure. Mm-hmm. I will say this whole dorm subplot, I kind of felt a little nostalgic for dorms.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I'm in my 40s. I have a child. It would be so great if I just had a room all to myself where I could watch TV on my computer in a tiny screen and eat cereal and do homework and not, you know, work an 80-hour week and manage a small child and cook for a family. Like, being in the dorms, it's the life. I felt for Jeff this episode.
I had a great dorm setup. I was so happy with my dorm setup. Both years that I was in the dorms, I was in a classic small dorm room with one roommate my mm-hmm. first year, and then my second year, it was like four of us in like a three room suite, like two bedrooms and a common room. Those were the days. We did some really weird, dumb things.
I loved it. I had my senior year, because everybody at my college, it was a very small college, so everybody always lived in the dorms. You'd like lose your financial aid if you moved off campus. So my senior year, one of the floor plans in, we were picking our rooms and the floor plan had the wrong square footage. And I'm like, I've been in that room. That is a big room. So I was really low in the lottery, but I got the biggest room on the floor because somebody had written the wrong square footage on it. And it was a palace. It was like,
that's awesome.
I I came back to school for reunion after living in New York City. And I was like, why do people complain that these rooms are small? This is great.
Yeah. My sophomore year suite was legendary. It was great. Did many, many, many things in there that were really wonderful and fun. I do miss those days. I just saw my college roommate an hour ago before we started recording this. We hung out outside at a park. I met his kid. And we had this moment where we were like, we've known each other for half our lives. Mm. And we're like, oh!
Feel old.
Yep.
I was like, no! Oh, no. Anyway, yeah. So I get it. Like, because I do think, in Jeff's shoes, I might, grow towards being, very, regressive and, nostalgic, borderline regressive in this moment as he gets closer to Abed here.
Yeah, did you ever make a drink called special drink where you put hot cocoa mix into cold milk and drink it
Isn't that just chocolate milk?
It's effectively chocolate milk.
It is.
Yeah, but
I don't know why it's called special drink.
Special drink is a great way of describing it. I do have a really great chocolate milk downstairs that maybe I'll drink after this.
Why is it so great?
Well, it's just a little bougie. It's a little bit of a bougie chocolate milk. In a can. It's like a cold brew style chocolate milk.
This sounds suspiciously like Yoo-hoo.
Yeah.
Listen, it may just be a Yoo-hoo.
I think it's just
not
a
even
Yoo-hoo.
Chocolate milk.
Yeah, that's
there's not even milk in that.
Yeah, Yoo-hoo is special drink.
Yeah.
That's chocolate drink. No, I think what Abed's describing is more chocolate milk than Yoo-hoo.
Yes, because it has milk in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Jeff says he could use a break. So that's they're going to be hanging out together this episode, which is fun. We love an Abed Jeff hang.
Yeah.
We're back at the cafeteria. Annie gives Troy a picnic blanket. He says he was just going to lay down some newspaper. So this is great. Annie says it's the blanket her grandmother used to court her grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
Troy thanks Annie and gives her a hug. And Shirley tells Annie to tell Troy how she feels. But Annie is scared of losing her friendship. Shirley tells Annie to roll the dice. And Annie unintentionally does a very lewd dice rolling hand motion for a while.
The rolling the dice scene is so funny. It's so funny because she's just she's like super hard going for it. Yeah.
That's so bad.
It is obscene and incredible.
Yeah. And Shirley is maybe roll them in your head.
Yeah, roll them in your head. As Annie, she's like, let's go.
And this is the moment.
Yes.
Pierce's band is playing, so Britta and Shirley are gonna watch, and it's Getting Rid of Britta.
Yes,
it's classic.
Do we have the lyrics handy? Let's see.
Oh, I know them. I didn't write them down because I know them.
I'm getting rid of Britta.
We're getting rid of the bee. Yeah. She's a no good bee. Getting rid of Britta. Oh, it's getting rid of Britta was the hardest thing.
It was the hardest thing to do
when someone's a bitch and a liar.
There ain't nothing left you get to do. Woo.
Yeah, nothing left to woo. We're getting rid of Britta. Getting rid of the bee.
She's a no good bee.
I love Chevy with the line, too. It's so
my
good.
God.
It's so good.
He's really, he commits to it.
He does.
Oh,
it's great.
God.
She's a GD bee.
Yeah, she's a GD bee. That killed me. I thought that was the funniest thing.
Yeah.
This whole scene was great because, Britta's whole thing is, she's just, wants to, smooth this over.
Yeah.
And Vaughn's just some worries has really blown up pretty hard.
The name of the band is Some Worries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is so good.
Some Worries.
It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why Brandon Mayhew, as we like to call him, when Vaughn had said some worries, and he was like, whoa. Yeah. It's whoa. That was kind of a eureka moment.
Deep.
Yeah. Yeah, that opened up a whole world of music.
I love it so much. This scene, and then the later scene, too, with Vaughn. The fact that Vaughn just, never can keep a shirt on is just
Vaughn.
The funniest thing to me.
Do we see him after season one, or he's only a season one character? That sucks. No.
It makes me so sad that we don't get more of Vaughn, because he's just an excellent character.
Yeah,
and the guy
great.
Who plays him,
Eric Olson,
he's so good.
Ooh, Winston even likes him. Winston.
Mm-hmm. He's a Vaughn stan.
Winston was barking, and the translation is, we're getting rid of Britta.
Getting rid of the bee.
Getting rid of the bee.
we're back in the dorm room with Abed and Jeff, and they're watching the Jeffersons. Abed says it's nice to have someone to watch TV with because his dad never wanted to watch anything. And Jeff says TV is the best dad there is. Never came home drunk. Never abused and insulted me.
Wow.
It's sad.
Yeah. Raised by the television. Many, many people can relate to the idea of turning to the TV as both a source of comfort and an authority figure, I think.
Mm-hmm. This is when Britta enters and says they're dorming it up. Jeff says a communal bathroom helped him get over losing his condo.
That's weird.
And then Pavel comes in. Pavel!
We never see Pavel again, right?
Let me think.
Let's see.
I don't know. They at least reference him, I think. But we don't really see him much. No.
He will be last seen in an episode, VCR Maintenance and Educational Publishing.
Okay.
Which is a, I don't think I can like easily find out which episode. Yeah.
Like, I know he's like around, but he's not like, he never becomes like a big, he's not like a Leonard or like a Starburns. Like, he's not that type of side character.
Yeah, oh my gosh. All right.
A season 5 episode.
You know what then?
He'll show up.
I'm changing my Dean's List entry.
Whoa.
Spoilers.
Okay.
Spoilers.
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
I was going to. Yeah,
okay. All right.
Easy enough.
Okay. All right. Be careful. We don't like to change things on the fly here.
No, I don't like to change things on the fly.
Yeah.
Another co-host does.
Yeah.
I won't spoil which one it is.
Hey, look, I've been on podcasts with the co-host that you may be referencing.
It's kind of what I do.
It's just a bit that I have to roast Josh for changing. It doesn't actually upset me, but like I have to roast him because he does it all the time.
Anyway, can't help it. It's my anxiety brain.
I have podcast with Josh before, and his anxiety brain and my ADHD brain, it's a miracle we ever talk about the episode we're supposed to talk about.
It works.
About.
They complement each other.
I love
quite
the
well.
Mix that we have of anxiety brain, ADHD brain, and like type A brain on this podcast
now.
It's really
great.
It's a magical mixture. We can call it, it's a special drink.
A special drink of podcasters. Drink of podcasts. Yes. Yes.
Pavel comes in.
This song, Getting Rid of Britta, is really making the rounds.
Yes, Pavel's like, we're getting rid of Britta, getting rid of the beat.
Oh my God,
the way he
sings
at me. And he does like this like shuffle.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
And Britta immediately leaves. She's like, I have to go find I have to go murder someone in the future or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Did anybody else notice the Jeff and Abed cool together?
Yeah, synchronized cools.
Loved it.
Yeah.
They're truly one person now. They've molded.
They have fused.
Javed.
Yeah. Yes. Ooh, I like that.
So we're at band rehearsal. Britta charges into the room as the band is rehearsing. And Britta says the song was disrespectful to her and to the definition of rhyme scheme.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's kind of catchy.
It's definitely catchy.
Yeah, I don't know that she's right about it being an insult to rhyme scheme. I actually think it was pretty good. I mean, it's mean.
It's a song that got stuck in my head for an entire decade. So I think that says something about the quality.
I watched
of music.
The episode 2 days ago. I haven't stopped thinking about it.
And this line truly made me laugh out loud. Vaughn says he's an artist and he writes what he feels, and he feels that Britta sucks. So good.
Yeah.
How can you not love that?
And so I love that Pierce, like, summons Vaughn. And there is, like, a split second where you think, like, maybe it's, like, stop being so mean to my friend. But instead, it's, like, sort of, like, the John and Paul contentiousness, right?
Yes.
Of, like, you know, it's, like, sort of, like, the clash of the musicians here.
Yeah, we wrote the song together.
Yeah.
And Pierce thinks that Vaughn is jealous of him because when he puts on skinny jeans, his ass looks like a baby pumpkin.
Yeah.
Which is a visual.
Oh my God.
That's something.
Yeah.
And also the way, like, I love Vaughn and Pierce in scenes together because the way Vaughn just like whips around his guitar chord, he's just like,
yeah.
I don't know what it is, but that just cracks me up because you see musicians like pull the chord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My God. It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we had said this, you know, a few weeks back when we were talking about Vaughn, but the actor is great. Like, I've loved him since Beer Fest. Like, he's done some, like, really, really fun comedy, even though he's on NCIS now, and I don't know what he does there because I won't watch it. But I know other people do. I don't know how much he's like a straight man or like a comedic character, but his comedy chops are really top. He's very, very, very funny. He wields his body really well as a comedian. You know, it's not like a necessary thing to do in order to be like a very funny actor. But he does it really, really, really well. And the two times I've seen him on the show, I have been, very, very pleased, very, very pleased with his performance.
Yeah. I think this could just be a throwaway character in the hands of another actor. Like, you could cast just about anybody from that cohort of douchey guys of a certain age to play him and like slap a shaggy wig on their head and give them a hacky sack and, you know, put some makeup on their nipples to make them look tiny.
Right.
But it's elevated by the performance for sure.
Yeah. Especially the always shirtless and like what he does with his shirtless body. It's just, it's too funny.
Yes.
And this is when Vaughn throws things at Pierce and leaves. And Britta asks Pierce if he defended her, and he goes just like, oh, yeah, like, sure, of course I did, you know, even though he definitely did not.
He did not. He didn't.
Yeah. So but, we're now on the outdoor Greendale campus. Annie's showing Troy how to set up the picnic for his date. It's very obvious that she's imagining herself and him having this picnic.
Mm-hmm.
Troy says he couldn't have done this without Annie's help. He says they should have hung out more in high school. Annie asks if he remembers when he pretended to be her backpack. And Troy's line of, yeah, I'm funny.
I'm funny. Yeah, remember when you pretended to be my backpack? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm funny.
I'm funny. Troy tries to leave. Annie pretends her appendix is bursting.
Yeah, and the synergy here is just incredible because this week on Down the Hatch, we have reached the episode where Jack's appendix bursts.
Oh, lovely. Yes.
Spoiler alert for Lost, at some point, Jack's appendix bursts. That becomes like the central storyline of an episode. And we got there this week. And so we've already recorded that episode. It's coming out on Friday, but it is just hilarious the ways in which like, this is like the kismet stuff stage. Mm-hmm. This is how I know that doing this podcast is the right thing to do.
Yeah. So which episode is better, this episode or Jack's appendix bursting?
Mike and I had an incredible time talking about the appendix episode, by the way. Let me just say,
I thought that was much earlier in the Lost run. I can't believe, like, you guys are on season four,
yeah,
right?
We're
in season
four. It seems like it should be a season one episode.
It does feel sort of classic in some ways, as we often do. We had a great time talking about Lost, as we always do, in fact, I shall say. This is probably, I think, a better episode ultimately. Yeah. But I do like a lot from that episode. So I'm talking about two episodes of television that I like.
It's fair.
That's how I feel.
So we're now, because of the appendix situation, we're now at the campus nurse. And Annie, of course, he asks if Annie and Troy are sexual partners.
Patton Oswalt, is he going to be here multiple times?
He's on at least one other time.
He's, I can think of one episode, but he's not like recurring or anything.
Patton Oswalt.
No. And his name on the show is Nurse Jackie, which I think comes up later, which I think is hilarious.
Funny. Yeah. Yes, he will appear again at least as late as The Psychology of Letting Go.
Okay.
Is his final appearance, and that is season two, early season two.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't think he was around too much. So Annie last says no. She thanks Troy for bringing her here. The nurse says nothing is wrong. So Troy goes to leave, and Annie just screams again. The nurse says they're going to have to quarantine Annie,
what's wrong? Where does it hurt? Everywhere. Yeah.
Wait a second. Was that a Gary Oldman?
Yeah. Everywhere. Yeah. Everyone. Wait, who? Everyone.
They do. Annie has another thing. She says that later, too.
Action movie lines of all time.
I'm surprised there's not a poster of that on Abed's wall.
Yeah. Everyone! Unreal. Yeah, so she's hurting everywhere, and so, like, this plan to, like, keep Troy longer instead is like, no, you need to escape, and she needs to go into quarantine.
So awful. Troy's like, I have a date on the East Lawn. Is that far enough? And they're just like, great. Oh, don't forget, here are condoms.
Yeah.
So Troy, in the physical comedy again of Donald Glover, like, holding the condoms and then leaving... So good. Honestly, reminiscent of like David Schwimmer as Ross for me. So, like that particular scene.
Mm-hmm.
Troy says he'll be thinking of Annie and leaves with the condoms.
Yes.
The nurses, they'll have to observe Annie overnight to avoid another typhoid Mary of herpes situation.
Yikes. Yeah.
And then he asks if she's single, which is big time yikes.
Yikes.
Right after he said he's keeping her there overnight and yikes. Then he hits on her.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Good.
Big yikes.
Very
also, not okay.
No campus nurse is going to keep somebody overnight.
No.
Yeah.
Nope. No.
Yeah, they'll send you right back to your cushy dorm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, they'll give you an Advil and tell you to peace out.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's either Advil or condoms. You don't get anything else.
That's it. That's all you're getting. Full, it's a binary choice. You get condoms or Advil.
Yeah.
Not both.
Not both.
Yeah.
We're back in the cafeteria. Britta approaches Jeff and Abed, who are getting sundaes at a Sunday bar. She says they weren't in Spanish class. And they were watching a Knight Rider marathon.
I don't know that I've ever watched a Knight Rider.
I have not.
I don't think I've done it a single time.
I remember it being on, but again, I'm older than you two.
I remember it being on. I just don't remember ever watching it. I also remember they tried to reboot it and Will Arnett was going to be the voice of the car. And then they had a last minute change that because he had like a commercial. He had like a commercial deal with another rival car company. And they hadn't like cross-referenced the thing. Like he had already recorded dialogue. Like it was happening. And then I guess like it, like they recorded it and they started advertising it. And then the car company was like, Will, so you can't be Knight Rider. That's about the extent of my Knight Rider know-how.
Yeah. Well, they should have brought Mr. Feeny back then because he was the guy that did
was
original Knight Rider.
The
yeah.
Knight Rider, really?
Oh, yeah, actually.
Oh, wow.
Everything
Feeny.
Comes back to Boy
something
Meets
or
World.
Other.
Yeah. Everything comes back to Boy Meets World eventually.
See, Daniels, another kismet
right?
situation, Josh.
Right? Yeah, that's right. William Daniels.
Yes.
Yes, William that Daniels. Is some big Bader Meinhof phenomenon energy right there.
Mr. Feeny.
William Daniels is going to be turning 94 on March 31st.
That's wild. That is absolutely wild.
Oh, wow. This is his birthday week, too. So, you know, happy birthday.
Oh,
so it's even more kismet.
All coming together.
Yeah, yeah.
Wild.
Knight Rider
he's
rewatch.
Look at that.
Coming your way. Never.
Yeah. Also,
your way
Loki,
when we get around to it.
Loki
after
Feeny
the,
is
the,
just
the
as
magazine-eth.
A...
Magazine-eth first.
Yes.
Loki
Feeny is just as gossipy as Shirley is, by the way. That's what I'm
reading. Yo, Feeny is a gossip for
he
sure.
He is a gossip queen. We call him Gossip Queen Feeny because he just loves to gossip.
He is. He's a gossip fiend. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Jeff's eating whipped cream straight out of the can, which like who hasn't done this? Come on now.
Publicly?
I don't
know.
I would never put that thing near my mouth if it was a publicly used whipped cream can. That's disgusting.
So.
Yeah.
Communal whipped cream, no.
Mm-hmm.
Own personal whipped cream.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. I'm not a monster.
Even,
come on.
I've even like squirt like Winston, you know. For Winston, I've like squirted it to try to like let it like. I thought it would like launch itself.
How did that go? Did it?
It does not.
No,
No, he jumped because he got excited and it went on the top of his head instead of in his mouth.
Nice, great,
so,
cute,
you know, real comedy.
That is good.
Yeah,
I think the communal whipped cream, full non-starter.
Big no. Yeah,
could not be a harder no these days.
Hard no.
Yeah,
and any day really.
It's definitely canceled now. Yes.
Yes.
Abed sees this and pulls Britta aside. He says that she needs to take Jeff back. Britta says that she doesn't want him because of his Phil Spector vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Abed says he's like E.T. It's good for Abed, but bad for Jeff.
Yeah.
And Abed tells Britta to use her lady parts.
Use your lady parts. Yeah.
Yeah. This is not great.
Which I'm sure he only has like vague notions of what that even means.
Yeah. 10 years later, that's not going in the show.
No.
Yeah. So Abed tells Britta to tell Jeff she'll sleep with him if he takes a shower and smells nice. And we see Jeff in his boxers, like getting free stuff out of the vending machine that's open.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
It's not going great.
No. Jeff is going through it right now.
Yeah.
Now we're back at Abed's dorm. Britta walks in on Jeff watching the Jeffersons again. Britta says she was wrong and that material possessions are important. What about that sport where British people ride the horses with the really long hammers?
What is that called? Is that croquet?
It's polo.
It's polo.
With the horses? It's polo. If it's horses, then it's croquet.
I've played croquet. I've never played polo.
I mean, me neither. I'm not going to get a horse.
But I played croquet. And by played croquet, I mean, I like swung a croquet mallet and I was very young. I threw it up into the air. It landed on my face.
Ouch.
Split my lip.
one and only time you played croquet.
This is
guessing.
What Josh gets for playing sports.
This is not. This is a great, a prime example of why your boy
this
doesn't
is,
play
like,
sports.
Barely a sport. Also, by the way, like yeah, I didn't even think croquet is a sport.
Yeah. We had a set, and we played it a lot yeah. when I was a kid, but. My parents never told me about the rule where if your ball touches somebody else's ball, you can like blast their ball into the woods.
Oh,
and I
that
feel
sounds
like
cool.
That is 90% of what makes croquet fun.
That sounds yes. like fun.
Boring ass
yeah,
game.
Yeah. yeah. We did more bocce ball than we did.
Oh, I still do bocce.
Bocce.
Or I
love
guess
bocce.
Still yeah. do bocce is in question.
Yeah, I do bocce.
But,
yeah, bocce is great. Outdoor bocce is the only bocce that's worth it. Like camping bocce. You need the like hills and the valleys, and you need the obstacles, the
no,
natural
I,
obstacles.
I mean, I was part of a bocce league forever, mm-hmm. bar bocce. It, like
that's
it's
been so
a, it's,
Brooklyn, Josh.
And it's been a year. It's been a year. It sucks. I'm so ready to get back into it. It was mm-hmm. like a it was a weekly ritual. The second that's safe again, I'm doing it again. I miss it very, very, very badly.
Yeah.
And I've yet to throw the ball in the air and smash myself in the face. So that's a plus.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it was really, really,
that is
really
a heavy
bad.
Ball. That takes some doing, Josh.
Yeah.
It was a heavy croquet mallet. It was like whoop, and it was like donk. It was
I can't
good.
Believe. It. I mean, yeah, I can bad. Believe that, but it's still awful to think yeah, about.
It was bad. It was bad.
So yeah. Britta says that Jeff is one of those people with nothing beneath the surface. Sometimes, if you put stain remover on a turd, you don't get a diamond. You just get a turd with less direction in life.
Mm.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
This is when Britta throws a bag at Jeff. It turns out that it's his Italian faucets. Britta stole them.
So she broke into his condo?
100%. She said they had very bad security.
Yeah.
So she tells him to install these in a new apartment to encourage himself to become a huge phony again. And Jeff tells Britta that she's into him, or he's into, excuse me. Yeah, she's into him, and that she's doing it all for him. And Britta says, no, I'm doing this for Abed. And then she calls Jeff the worst.
The worst. The worst.
What do we think is true? Is Britta doing this for Abed or for Jeff or both?
I don't know. I mean, I think at this point in the show, I think that the show still wants me to think that she and Jeff are like ships in the night. Like, I know that that's not ultimately where we're going, but I do think right now we're in some Ross and Rachel, you know, nonsense.
When the show got over that, it got better.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think honestly, like we've seen Britta do things to sort of. Do things for Abed in this very like motherly way and that end up being incredibly misguided. And I think this is like a precursor to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I also think it's the first sign of somebody really going out of their way to help the people in the study group and the sign that they're kind of all bonded and Jeff accepting that help as well.
Yeah.
So it's almost like Britta spends a lot of time in the first few episodes rejecting Jeff and knowing that he's doing all this stuff to hit on her and her not being here for it and her serving the greater group. But this is her like actually reaching out to him. Also, you can't install expensive faucets in an apartment you're renting. You will get in trouble. Don't do it.
Yeah. I can see like, I don't think necessarily that like just because Britta helps Jeff, she likes him. Like, I obviously that's probably what the show wants you to think. But I also feel like you could just help a friend out and it's
yeah,
fine.
She doesn't like him.
Exactly.
For sure.
Yeah, exactly. And I also think that like there's no argument for like helping Abed. Abed is like perfectly fine with Jeff staying there. Abed only did it for Jeff's own good. That's the only reason he approached Britta. So I just, yeah, I think she's just helping him to help him because she wants to be helpful. I think like we've seen that from Britta before. She likes to help people.
Yeah.
And now we're back at a second concert, which is so great. Pierce approaches Vaughn and says he hasn't changed his mind about the band and he's out. He tells Vaughn to lay off Britta. Underneath that clown makeup, she's a good kid. Vaughn says, no worries. He's moved on. He takes
no
off
worries.
His shirt. Yeah, no worries.
No
we're
worries.
Back to none.
Takes off his shirt and goes on stage. And we have now Pierce, you're a B.
Yeah.
Not as good as the original.
No, but it does have like the rap verse.
Mm-hmm.
And the body rolls yeah. and the dancing.
Yeah.
So good.
This is, what's the, something about.
He has poo-poo in his brain and poo-poo in his heart.
Yeah,
poo-poo in his butt.
Poo-poo
and
in his pants
heart.
And poo-poo in his heart. Yeah.
That's what it is, yeah.
That was incredible. I let out a very furious guffaw in that moment.
Yeah, I had forgotten about the
I,
rap
like,
break.
I squealed
and then,
in reality.
Yeah, on yeah. the rewatch, it's like that. That's amazing.
I squealed IRL.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that scene is so... And Pierce is just like... I love Pierce, like, getting into it. Like, he's like, this is about me. Like... It doesn't matter if it's good or bad. He wants to be talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. we're at the actual concert, and Troy is taking off his Letterman jacket to give to Randy when Annie runs up and screams, "No,
no!"
She takes her grandmother's picnic blanket. She says, "Have a nice date." And as she's walking out, she sees Shirley.
I love this line so much. I don't care what you think. For me, that was huge.
Yes. And Shirley, let's go find you some pants.
Yeah.
I love this for Annie. Some people in the Discord were saying, you know, this feels like an episode that could be a few episodes ago. It doesn't necessarily feel like it belongs right after Intro to Stats. I can feel that energy. But I also just think, yes, this has the Troy Annie dynamic, which absolutely is not my favorite, but this is the Annie. This is Annie. This is Annie growing. This is huge for her to finally be like, you know what? I'm not the girl I was in high school. I know I still have a crush on Troy, but like, I'm going to stand up for myself, even if it's a small, tiny move.
This is great stuff. This is deeply relatable content of like, I know this doesn't seem like a big thing, but for me, that was like moving a mountain. And owning that and like owning that with like your butt in the breeze too, butt shirtless, you know,
It's just like straight up butt shirtless.
You know, it's just like one of these incredible moments of like, no, I can do stuff, and I don't care if you don't think this was a big deal. For me, this was enormous. And I just love the way that she owns that. This was great. And then I love the way that Shirley's like, I know, that was great. It was wonderful. Like the way that, like, cause like she goes to her as if like she's going to have something to prove. And instead, she's like, no, that's great. Let's get you pants.
Yeah. She like covers up her butt.
Yeah.
And it is like, it's that trope of like making something like you make bad decision after bad decision after bad decision, and the audience is just cringing. But then she takes ownership of all of it. So it's like, yeah, you can cringe all you want. You don't need to cringe on my behalf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's also more realistic that somebody isn't going to immediately jump to like, I had a crush on you and you suck and I hate you. Instead, she's just like, give me my blanket back. Mm-hmm. And that's it, you know?
Yeah.
So we're still at the concert. Jeff approaches Britta. He's clean. He says that he saw that Britta missed him and smelled what happens to Pavel on Cabbage Night. Realized the world was better with him in it. So he thanks Britta. And this is when Abed approaches them and asks if Jeff moved out. Jeff says he's moved into a hotel for a few nights. Jeff realizes that Abed would have been cool with Jeff staying there forever. And he says Abed's pretty cool. And Abed calls Jeff a huge nerd. And they hug, which is very cute.
Oh, it's so sweet. It's so cute.
They're friends now.
Friends.
Yeah. And Abed winks at Britta, which I also very much loved.
Yeah. And then the song is just still going.
But now
Pierce needs to get his revenge. So we get... is this our first post credits without Troy and Abed?
I think so.
It's got to be close to it.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. As their engineer. So he's enlisted the rapper who is happily turned against Vaughn at this point.
Do you know what the rapper's character's name is?
No.
He's called MC Dan Harmon.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah,
that is very funny.
Of course he is. That's great. Oh, that's funny.
Of course he is.
Oh my god,
it's too good.
Oh man, that's awesome. Some of the lyrics are incredible. Vaughn's breath is so bad. His butt's mad at his mouth.
It's so great. It's
this rap is for Pearson. Vaughn is dumb.
He wears diapers to bed and sucks his mother's thumb. Like, and this is like wishing he was me. He has a big poop breakfast with a glass of pee.
Honestly.
Then he goes to school where he's stupid and chem, and everybody hates him, even all his friends. When you come after Pierce, then the battle is on. So this rap goes out to stupid Vaughn.
And Vaughn hears everything. He's right there. And he's like, it's not over, but like, he's so hurt. His eyes are like raw. He's
looks like he's been crying.
It's one of those moments where you're like, I'm not gonna cry. Like, I'm not gonna cry. But he's gonna cry. It is, I don't know, but maybe I'm a bad person. I laughed so hard. For me, definitely Streets Ahead.
Anytime you rap about poop and pee, I feel like that's my wheelhouse.
That is your wheelhouse.
It's a weird
wheelhouse. I hang out with a four-year-old a lot.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
How would George respond to this rap?
I think George would love
a
this
big
rap.
Poop breakfast with a glass of pee.
I'm not going to show it to George because then I'm not going to hear anything but that for the next month.
So I'll be the dissenter here. I don't like this. I put it in Streets Behind.
Wow, first one.
It's my first one. I just wasn't laughing at this rap. Like, I didn't think it was funny. I preferred the Pierce Ira B or obviously the Britta B song. Like, I find much funnier. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It didn't make me laugh at all. And so I was like, I'm sorry, I have to do it. Like, this is the first Streets Behind. I don't think that's I'm going to often have Streets Behind, especially not this early in the show. But yeah,
it still passes. We've got two streets ahead. So nothing has failed yet. No
this
failures.
This is one of my top five post-credit scenes.
Oh my God, really? Yeah. That's insane to me.
I know,
really
it's insane.
It. I thought it was
absolutely
great.
Insane.
It is up there. I don't think Josh has seen this one, but it's I think it's in season two, the Africa one. That's probably my number one favorite.
I have that one very high up as well. I love that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the episode.
That was the episode. It's time for some F Community feedback time. This is from Tom Palmer. Tom Palmer writes in, says, I think episode 8 was a great change of pace from the Jeff tries to act cool and above joining in setups that kind of get monotonous in season 1. I love the Jeff and Abed combo, and I think similarly to the Troy and Pierce combo, it's one that the writers initially invested in more, but gets consumed by Troy and Abed. I mean, I know that Troy and Abed is definitely going to be like the one, right? But Jeff and Abed does still feel like sort of core show to me, no?
It definitely is. I think that their relationship, that pairing, is one of the best to track over time. It's not like, obviously, nothing is as big as the Troy Abed, right? Like, it's not going to happen. They just do it more early on. Jeff and Abed definitely will still be around, but it's not as much as in season one.
Yeah. So from Riley says, while this episode deals with some early season one-isms that aren't great, like Troy and Annie and Jeff and Britta, I feel like this is the best way those subplots are handled. We see Annie really becoming Annie, Jeff getting his groove back, and getting rid of Britta is peak early season one. Yeah, I mean, I think the testament to that, Jess Lease, aka not stage, is, or off stage, I should say.
Oh my God.
Oh God. No, I don't co-sign that.
All right, I won't say it again then.
No,
I won't do it.
Yeah, don't say it again.
I said it once.
You're on notice.
Stage.
Yeah, I don't think Stage likes it either.
It's so stupid.
All right, I won't call it. I won't do it anymore.
I will not define myself by the fact that I am not somebody else.
I was going to say something. It's gone.
You were going to say that I had an opinion about something. But
oh, well, the fact that that it's been on the stage of your brain for the last 10 years.
Exactly. It's I've never stopped. Like, when you think about when you mention Community to me, like, I think most people will go to like Elementary Chaos Theory or they'll go to one of the other iconic episodes.
Modern Warfare or something.
Modern Warfare. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. But no, for me, it's always getting rid of Britta.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think this is a really good point in terms of Annie becoming Annie, Jeff being in a situation where he finally is a little bit like nerdy and a little bit like not as too cool for school, which is a really fun side of Jeff that we get to see. I do think like everybody's firing on all cylinders. Even if there is a small amount of Shirley, she's still like very good Shirley. I agree with Riley.
Let's take one more. This is from Eric. Eric Divestein writes in with a question for Jess Lease. Can you, basically to distill it down, can you give us the Walking Dead character that is most similar to the various members of the study group? Of course, Jess Lease, for those who don't know, you are anchoring our Walking Dead coverage alongside the great Chappelle here on Post Show Recaps. How's that going, by the way?
It's a lot of fun. We are going way off the rails and we're having a blast. But this to me, this feels like every time I do the Survivor feedback and somebody's like, now, what two players would go on The Amazing Race? And we get that question every single time. So this is the equivalent of that, I feel like.
Yeah.
But I think some of them are obvious and some of them are less obvious.
I think Abed is Daryl Dixon is my hot take.
Abed is the Daryl Dixon. I was going to say Abed is the Glenn, obviously.
I think Abed is the Daryl Dixon because, like, he's the constant, but also the wild card. Where Daryl's not from the comic books, but he will always be on the show. And so because he's not from the comic books, a lot of the unpredictability stems from Daryl Dixon's presence. He's sort of a meta character. Abed is the meta character and the constant in the group. He's both constant and variable. I thought about this for about a minute before I knew to ask the question. I was like, oh, that's a provocative question. This is the first answer that came to mind.
Okay. I guess that's pretty good. That's a more detailed answer than I would have had. I'm going to say Shirley is 100% the Carol because
yeah.
you think she's just all about baking and it turns out she is a stealth badass.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's great. That's great. Applesauce and the cookies.
Yep. Applesauce and the cookies.
That's the secret. That's the secret. Who else? Who else? Does anyone else map easily?
Does anyone else map easily? I don't know. I feel like... Huh. It's a good question.
I only know Walking Dead things from like 5 years ago. So
but so does most people.
So do most people. Yeah. Nobody still hate. It.
Let's put Pierce as Carl. I hated Carl.
Pierce is Carl.
No, Pierce is the Henry.
I don't know who Henry is, but he's if he's Henry, was the,
that Henry was like. The second Carl.
There was a second Carl. Chang is Negan.
I love, don't do that.
You like Negan?
No, but the guy who plays him is like
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
The Zaddy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't
yeah.
do that.
He comes in and he like bludgeons everybody to death. So that's sort of what Chang does, no?
Yeah. I guess so.
Yeah. And then, but
who would the Dean be?
He sort of also comes around to a different, like, he undergoes a drastic evolution over the course of the series.
Negan
does?
Okay.
Yeah,
Dean would be Deanna from Alexandria. The sorghum and the wheat.
Makes a meal out of everything that comes
Jeff.
His way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how somebody talks on the show?
It was an impression we did once upon a time.
Oh, yeah. Okay. She didn't really talk like that, but it was iconic for sure.
Back in the day.
Yeah, I don't know. I think most of the characters on Community would probably have been eaten by zombies in the first week of the apocalypse.
Yeah.
That seems right.
Abed would survive. Abed feels like somebody who would know what he was doing.
That seems right.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen Modern Warfare. We know.
I feel like Britta would be the one who, like, almost dies every episode, but she somehow makes it through.
Yeah.
And then dies, like, in a hilariously bad way.
Yeah. I think that might be right.
Yeah, tracks.
So she'd be like the Andrea.
She could be like that. Yeah.
I remember.
I was thinking maybe is she the Maggie and Troy is the Glenn? I know that we're supposed to ship them at some point.
Please stop that.
Okay, cool. All right. Meow, meow, beans. Meow, meow, beans. All right, so let's get into these meow, meows. All right, I guess I'll go first. I sort of like slapdashed these as I often do. Chang just gets 2 points. He's in the first scene. He's very funny in the first scene, so I'll give him a couple points. I think Troy goes next. It's a sort of unremarkable Troy episode. He sort of serves to make the Annie storyline what it is. And to give, I think, he's like set up for Allison Brie this week, which is great. Couple of fours. I'll give Jeff and Abed and Shirley a four. Shirley for like the, again, like exceptional use, even if it's limited. I like the Jeff and Abed storyline a lot. I guess I just skipped straight past Britta. She was somewhere in between Troy and Jeff for me this week. So I gave her a 3.5. I thought she was like a little bit better than Troy. And then I give Annie a 4.5 because I think Allison Brie is just really, really great in this episode. And not to spoil it, but I guess I'm going to spoil it. I felt empowered to give Pierce a 5 meow meow beans. I felt empowered to give Pierce 5 meow meow beans because he killed me. I laughed so hard this week because of Chevy Chase. And I peeked at some other meow meow beans scores. I felt like this would be okay to do. So I decided, I'll just go for it. 5 meow meow beans to Pierce.
I too felt empowered to give Pierce the 5 meow meow beans just because this is the only time Pierce is going to get 5 meow meow beans from anyone. This is like his one chance to do it.
Oh, you're calling your shot.
Calling my shot. I don't think I would. Pierce has become a trope. He's like the one character that everybody just wants out.
There's one time I could think that maybe I will.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be excited to hear about that. Mm-hmm. So I gave Jeff a 4, which is high for Jeff for me, because I feel like Jeff is just he's sort of the anchor around which everybody else congregates, but he's not the most entertaining character ever. But he had a great episode this time, and I'm going to give Britta and Abed 3.5 because they mostly served to support Jeff and they were entertaining, but it was really kind of Jeff's show. And then I feel like you can take Troy and Shirley and Chang out of the show entirely, and nothing that happens to them in this episode really changes them at all. And they almost, like, Troy is just the vehicle for Annie to embarrass herself. And we've talked through Annie a lot more, and I think I would change my answer if I hadn't really already locked it in. I only gave Annie 2.5.
Oh, you could certainly change your Annie scores if you'd like to bump her up.
Oh, my God.
I can bump her up a full bean then. She gets up to 3.5.
Anastasia.
It was hard to watch her. I found her episode, like, even though it didn't feel that way for her, I found it so uncomfortable. So, yeah, I will bump her up to a 3.5. She and Abed both get 3.5s. And then I'm going to give Shirley, Chang, and Troy a 2 because really they're not, you lift them right out of the episode and not much changes. I'm sure we could find some other way for Annie to embarrass herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. I think that's fair. I will start mine off. Chang, obviously 2.5. He's barely in the episode. I kind of just gave him an average score there. He didn't super offend me, so he gets a 2.5. Troy, I gave a 3.5, as well as Britta and Jeff. I thought they were fine. Like, Troy always makes me laugh with the yeah, I'm funny.
That is good.
That gets me. Jeff and Britta, I put them, like, slightly above average. I like Jeff's growth in this episode, but it's really hard for me to not rate based off of, like, who I find the funniest sometimes. I'm trying not to do that and also include, like, character growth in it. They're decent. They're not great, but they're fine. I gave Abed and Shirley both 4s. I thought that the little bit that Shirley did have, I thought she was great. I love her and Annie as a duo. I think that, like, the show is very smart to put them together. And Abed is very funny in this episode. I love to see the growth of, like, you see Abed being very selfish, especially early season 1, and we're going to see him be selfish more. But I also like the idea of, like, I want Jeff here, but for him, it's not good. So I'll help him out. So that's why I gave him a 4. And to shock there's one more. I gave Annie a 4.5. Love Annie's growth in this episode. I love Annie in general. Josh mentioned it earlier. Alison Brie's physical comedy cracks me up. She's so awkward, but just, like, pure of heart, but also manipulative, but also just, like, all of the things that I love. So Annie gets a 4.5. And to shock everybody, I gave Pierce a 5. It makes me sad that the first time that somebody has gotten 5s from all people that have been on the podcast is Pierce. That's not great. Don't like that.
It's amazing. But it's a 5-5-5 deal.
Here's the thing. I agree with Josh and Jess. Like, there's not going to be many moments where he is eligible for a 5. So, like, he deserves it. The thing is
I just want it on the record that I was the final 5.
Yeah,
I was the first 5s in the Meow Meow Beans for Pierce, and I saw them. I felt empowered to put a 5 on Pierce, which I was feeling anyway.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'd be scared to do it.
I think the thing is like, the reason I gave him the 5 is that song is so fun.
It's very good.
And he co-created it, and I had to do it. He didn't offend me. I almost took points off for a few comments he makes, but I was like, this is the time. He gets a 5 from me. So the first time that any character has swept the podcasters, and it is Pierce. So
yes.
That's that. We've had some movement on our character rankings. Abed is still in first. But Britt is now in second and Troy is in third. So they've swapped spots. And Jeff and Shirley swapped spots. Jeff is in a 4th. Shirley's in 5th. But Shirley and Annie are now tied for 5th place, which is great news.
It should be noted that it's a tight race between Britta through Annie. Annie and Shirley at 80. And then Jeff has 80.5 Meow Meow Beans. And Troy has 82, and then Britta has 83.5. So, like, it's all, like, really crowded there. Abed's really, this could change very easily, but Abed right now has a fairly clear lead at 90.
Yeah. And then Pierce is, like, 5 points behind. I still think he'll always be in the top 3. Yeah, Pierce and Chang, or Chang is way behind. Chang's at 41.5, and Pierce is at 75.5. So, really hard for Chang to ever catch up, but I think Abed will always at least be in the top 3, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Onto the Dean's list. I mean, I could not give it to Vaughn. Like, there was no way anybody else was ever
going to get it. Big same. Yeah, I had no choice. It had to go to Vaughn for me as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wanted to give it to Vaughn, but I really loved, I loved Pavel being a background character here. And one of my favorite things about the show is the way that there's this rich cast of the background characters. And they, you would think that they would exist for you to drop one line on them and then never see them again. But they keep coming back and they keep coming around. And then there's episodes where you just like focus on somebody that you've seen one other time and they become the focal point of the episode. And I feel like Pavel is one of those characters. I was surprised when we find out that he shows up in season 5. He's still around. That's fantastic. And as soon as I found that, I had to give it to him.
Yeah.
It was close between him and Patton Oswalt.
I did momentarily consider Nurse Jackie. There was a moment in time where I considered Nurse Jackie, but then I just thought about it more and like, I don't know. I don't know how much longer I've got with Vaughn. I know that I only have a season with Vaughn, and I want to savor all the Vaughn content.
That's the sad thing, right? Is Vaughn has 5
He's
points and Dean
trap.
Has 7.
Yeah.
And there is a world where if Vaughn is still in season 1, he beats Dean because he's that good. But it's sad that he's not around more. Because I still think Dean will run away with it. But he's close. We haven't had anybody rival Dean for the top spot. So nice to see Vaughn in that position.
He's in scoring position. 5 points overall on the Dean's list for Vaughn to the Dean's 7 points. So unfair. It's his list. Of course he's going to be at the top.
Of course.
Let's talk about some cools. 4 cools, in fact. And where we stand within that 4 cooled spectrum as we rate the episode. As I said earlier, I'm still just like chilling at 3.2. I'm just like staying. I'm holding. I'm nervous. I don't want to like overscore or underscore. I enjoyed this episode as much as I've enjoyed the most of the episodes that I've enjoyed so far. So like I would put this like at a level of like I'm really enjoying Community. It just like hasn't like broken out in like this huge way yet. So I'm waiting for that to happen for me before I move past the 3.2.
Yep.
I have it at a 3.4. Not the highest score I've given out, but pretty darn close to it. I love this episode. I love the song. I think the only thing that drops it down ever so slightly is while I enjoy the growth arc for like the Jeff and Britta and Abed of it all, it's not as funny as the song situation is. So, and obviously I'm always taking that into account. So 3.4 from me, which is still a pretty good score.
Yeah, I went ahead and gave it the full 4 cools because when am I going to have a chance to hand out cools again?
May as well do it.
Yeah.
Well, you could every week, Community at Post Show Recap.
Yeah, but this is like thumb on the scale stuff. Like,
I don't have this much pull. And this is by far my favorite episode of season 1, and it may well be my favorite of the whole series.
Wow.
Because that song is so iconic. And I was amazed going back to watch it. I had thought the song just dominated the episode, and it really doesn't. You get like 5 minutes of that subplot, and then the rest of it is more deep character growth from the other characters. And I was shocked to think of that storyline that I in my head is so iconic, and it's really like the C plot.
Yeah.
So that was interesting to me that something can be that memorable and really not be the main focus. That kind of pushes it ahead for me. And the other plots are great. They're entertaining. They tell you a lot about who the characters are. You could show this one episode to people and they know what the show is about.
Mm-hmm.
I think that seems right.
For sure. The audience was at a 2.97, very much brought down by the low score of a 1 that it did get, high score of a 3.5. So send in your ratings, community at postshowrecaps.com.
Cool.
You can still send them in all through season 1 until we get to the end of it. Brings our average to a 3.39, which puts this in second place by 0.02. Tight
Whoa!
Race between this and Intro to Film.
Oh my God.
Still obviously still can be adjusted on the fly if we get some backlog of scores sent in. But really tight race. Honestly astonishing to me that it is in second. I would have expected it in third or fourth.
Yeah. Cool. That's great.
Cool.
I am to understand that next week debate season 1 episode 9. Which you need to get your feedback in by April 2nd, community at pushyourrecaps.com. I am to understand that this could be the breakaway. And unfortunately, I know that that's the case, and that makes me so nervous, because now there's expectations on this one. So I'm like, all right, you got to really like this one, Wiggler, or else you have failed this community. Oliver Queen style, and like I'm nervous. I am. I don't want to upset anyone if I don't like it, but the bar is really high. This is the problem with the format. You can't help but hear the chatter.
Yeah, I mean, I love this episode. I personally love it. I don't know that you need to love it or will love it as much as I do. Yeah. I don't think there should be that pressure there. You know, you could feel however you want to feel about these episodes. For me, take it for what you will. I didn't show you this in community building ground zero or 0-1.
Right.
What is it?
Season zero.
I didn't show you it then. So it's obviously not my favorite episode ever. But I love it. And I think it's great. I think you'll like it.
Yeah.
But it's not for everybody.
I hope so. Jess Lease, do you have thoughts on what we're going to get into next week? Debate.
It's a fantastic episode. It's a lot of fun. I think I'm excited to hear you talk it through. It's going to be, there are a couple of iconic moments, I feel like, where you have certain characters that we have seen them at their lowest, and you remember that, oh, they have these qualities that they are very, very good at, and it brings out those qualities in them.
Cool.
That's my feeling on it.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's next week.
Yeah. Also, if you are a member of our patron Discord, I'm going to be watching that live with some patrons next Friday.
When? Friday.
Next Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern.
We're all right.
We're going to do it in the Discord just for funsies. We haven't done it in a while, and I love this episode, so I thought, why not watch it with some of my friends?
April 2nd, 8 p.m. Eastern. And let me just take this moment to say that's going to be an excellent time for you to be in the Discord, because it's the start of the month, brand new month. Have you not signed up for the Patreon yet? And you've been like, they keep talking about it. Seems like it might be fun. I don't know. Maybe I want to give it a thought. Well, it's no joke when I say that April 1st is the best day to sign up, because the start of the month, you get charged as soon as you sign up. So you may as well get some bang for your buck as you sign up for a new month. April 1st, you get access to the special podcast, which includes getting to listen to Community Building early. If you are a member just at the first level, where you get our patron-only podcasts, also post-show recaps theater, which I will be returning to very, very soon. Both the Jesses on this line held it down on post-show recaps theater this past month. The Emily Fox and Lee McLaren Titanic special should be coming out very, very soon. It's a very good episode. You're going to enjoy it. You'd get to listen to that stuff. Or if you sign up at that second level, you get to join the Discord and you get to watch this live. Then you get to interact with all sorts of people and do all sorts of crazy things. This is a big party. We have so much fun. There's all sorts of different rooms for you to go in, different games to play, different social experiments to enjoy. The Discord's a wonderful place. Consider signing up, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Sign up at that final tier, you get a hat. We like hats. So if you like hats, then maybe think about signing up at that special tier, because then, like, the special drink, you get it all. You get every last bit of it. So patreon.com/postshowrecaps. In many cases, I believe we are already preaching to the choir. But it ain't too late to join the choir if you have not yet. Strong recommend. You will not regret it. I think that you will have a very, very fun time. It's a really lovely community that we have built here, and we are excited to meet you, whoever you are. That's my pitch. Was that good?
That was great.
All right. Hold on. Let me try one last thing for the pitch. So that's my pitch. Lates.
It got worse.
Did it not work?
No, that doesn't work there.
And so that's my pitch. See you late. No?
No.
No.
It's still not there.
All right, I'll workshop that. Join the Patreon and you can help me develop my new catchphrase, lates, and how to use it in appropriate situations.
Oh, great.
Dead air. Oof.
Great.
It's not great. Not great. Not great.
I can't even comment on that because I don't want you to misconstrue anything I say as support.
Yeah, I understand.
Strong disapprove.
I understand. Yeah. All right. Jess Lease, you're podcasting Walking Dead each and every week here on Post Show Recaps. I am to assume that you're up to some sort of shenanigans over at Rob Has a Podcast as well.
Oh, yes. We talk about Tough as Nails every week. And we have been joined most weeks by the host of Tough as Nails, Mr. Phil Kogan, who has become a Rob Has a Podcast stan in very short order and comes on the podcast and makes fun of us, and it's a joy.
That's great. That's lovely. Stage, Jess Sterling, what do you got going on Shit 90s Shows Taught Me?
So we finished up our Mary-Kate and Ashley March with a Full House podcast talking all about the episode they went to Disney World. That was with Felipe, our own Felipe over here on Pusher Recaps.
Heck yeah.
And that was really fun. That just came out. And then coming up in April, we have some more bonus content beyond our normal Dawson's Creek and Boy Meets World. We are going to be talking the Passover episode of Rugrats this week with Saucer Joseph. Very excited. We already did cover the Hanukkah episode of Rugrats, and now we're diving into Passover. I am not someone that can really talk wisely about any of that stuff, so thank God I have Sasha and Sarah to join me to break that all down soon. So give that a listen at Shit 90s Pod.
Yeah. Okay, sweet. So a lot going on in the podcast universe, of course, here on Pusher Recap. So many things. We already told you. Appendix episode of Down the Hatch, connecting here to the appendix episode of Community, and everything in between. So sign up for the Patreon, and if not, you can also just listen to all of the shows for freezies. So listen to that. Did freezies work better than lates?
I think freezy sounds better, yeah.
That felt like a little effortless.
It felt more natural.
Yes, yeah, it just kind of came out. Yeah, just for freezies.
Yeah. Yeah.
So listen to all the stuff we've got. Sign to just like follow along with the main feed, and you'll find something that you like. I guarantee it. So until then, next week, we'll talk about debate. Until then, late.
This is a show about a team that started to grow. Wiggler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up with Pastor Fail Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine away. Community building is here to stay.